Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
I own everything because I created it, but I'm making you stewards, not just now of the mysteries of God, of God's word and his truth, that you now, and not just talking to Paul and not just talking to pastors, but to the church, listen, you are stewards of my word to give to other people.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
1 Corinthians 4, which is in the New Testament, and Luke chapter 12, and we'll get there. But Psalm 62 would set the tone for what we want to preach about. This is the Hebrew hymn book, and David here is putting the pen to a scroll and writing out for us his portraits of who God was to him. We're going to be reading Psalms 62 out loud, verse 8 through 12, but let me read a few other verses that really this is called the only psalm because there's four times the word only shows up. He says in verse 1, "Truly my soul waits upon God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock, my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be greatly moved," which is what we've been talking about. "How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence." There's not a lot of security and strength there. "They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly." He says, Selah, think about that. "My soul, wait thou only upon God for my expectation, my hope. The only thing I long for," he says, "is from him. I don't have expectations of others. I've got it in God. He only is my rock, my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us," Selah. "Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they're altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs unto God. As also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work." David came to the conclusion, Lord, you are going to reward me, us as your children, according to the work that we do on this earth. And what we do on this earth, we manage, we steward what God himself, who's the owner, has given to us. We'll be looking at today the first of series on God our Creator. We are his personal managers and what our responsibilities are in that and who is a steward. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, gives to us very simply the Creator's personal manager, and the term that is used there is the idea of a manager. He uses the word steward. Notice in 1 Corinthians 4, 2, Paul says, "Let a man so account of us," or in other words, let's be in charge because he is as of the ministers of Christ. The idea of minister of Christ is the under rower. It's the lowest galley slave, and he says that's what we are. We are Christ's slave. And anything and everything he tells us to do, because we're slaves to Christ, we are under rowers of Christ. And then he uses another term, the one we want to focus in today, that we are also stewards of the mysteries of God. We are personal managers, or the simple definition that we are the head chief of staff of an owner's household, their goods. We're a statesman. We're a ruler of the mysteries of God, the very truth, the secrets that were hidden. And all through the Old Testament, the continual story of redemption, that there's a Messiah, there's a Christ, there's someone coming that's going to redeem the world. And so we are stewards. We're personal managers of who God is, His owning, His belongings, everything that God is in Christ, even as 1 Peter 4:10 says, that as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Because He, Christ, He claimed, as one person said, He died to claim me as Lord. He lived to control me as Lord. He went to the cross to give His life, and because He gave His life, He now has claim or ownership on the world and all parts of it, because He's the creator, He's the owner of it. Because if you make something, it's yours. And He made the world. But not just that, He redeemed the world because of the curse. But it wasn't just that He died to claim us, He lived in the resurrection to now control as Lord, boss. He's our employer. We have lots of relationships with God. He's our God, and therefore we His creatures. He is our shepherd, so therefore we His sheep. We are, to us, a friend to God. Multiple roles, but He also is our boss. He's our Lord. That's what the very idea is. So therefore, we're His steward. We're His personal manager. We're His, can I say it this way, employee? And the idea of a steward in the Old Testament was very broad in the sense of their total as a good steward, being able not to own, but to be able to control and direct what that owner wants. The first job that I ever had as a ripe old 18-year-old was working at Champion Trophy Company. Mr. Howell and Mrs. Howell was their name. They owned Champion Trophy Company, the number one engraving and trophy company in the San Gabriel Valley, Covina, California. I grew up in West Covina, and they owned the shop in Covina, California. I had graduated midterm my senior year, not because I was smart, but because I was obedient. My mother said, "You're going to be bored in the summers, take summer school." So I took summer school, and here I am my senior year at Covina High School, and realized, man, I have enough credits to graduate. And so I graduated in January. So I had really didn't know where and what I was going to do. So there were these job opportunities, and one came up in the paper. So I went and applied, and I got this job at Champion Trophy Company working for Mr. and Mrs. Howell. They were the sole owners. They'd had the business for a good 30 plus years. And so they'd built this business up, and they had people coming and going and working for them and some part-time work. And they had another full-time person, didn't work out. And so here I come and apply. I was a ripe old 18, never had a full-time job before, worked a lot of other part-time jobs. So I thought, you know, I worked 8 to 5. And so they hired me, and their goal was to get somebody that they were in their 60s. They kind of wanted to retire. They'd done well financially, but they really wanted somebody to come in and help them with their job so they could go away on occasions and someone else run what their business was. And so that's what, for first 3 months I worked there, is what I did. I kind of, whatever they told me to do, that's what I did. I, in essence, was a small way of this I'm explaining, was a steward for them. I was their employee. So I did everything from vacuuming the carpet to cleaning with Windex to the display cases to sweeping outside the shop there in downtown Covina. And occasion then I started putting together trophies and explaining me how to engrave in engraving machines. So I learned how to engrave on these little plates that went on the trophies, and, you know, worked pretty hard at it. And eventually we developed really a pretty good relationship with them. I did know the difference. They were the owner, the employer. I was an employee for lots of reasons. As 18, I had a 66 Karmann Ghia, and I would drive in 30 minutes before they got there. And so I drove my 66 Karmann Ghia. They drove their brand new Cadillac. They showed up, and he had his polyester pants. I got to wear my jeans when I worked in the back. If I had to work out front, I had to dress up a little nicer. She had Mrs. Howell, her diamonds, and I had my puka shells. Those were big in that day, puka shells. And so here I was working away every day. At lunchtime, I would go out back and I would eat my little sandwiches and listen to Paul Harvey News. And here we went back to work. And eventually, though, they said, listen, we're going to be gone extended weekend. You'll be one to work, run the shop on Friday. So they were gone, and I opened the shop and ran the whole deal and took orders. And pretty soon it got a little more and a little more. And eventually, by the time over that year, they would go. They would go to Vegas. They'd go here, go there. And so I kind of ran the shop for them. I couldn't do what some of the things Mr. Howell did. He was a very accomplished hand engraver. And so he was going to kind of help me learn how to do some of these things. And they came to me and said, you know, they're happy with what's going on. So I was compensated for all this. So it was a pretty good arrangement. So in a smaller way, they really is business-wise, whatever needed to be done eventually is where they were grooming me to be able to run their business. But on a bigger scale, in the day in which Jesus was talking about here as a steward wasn't just for their business and their accounts and their finances. It was really their whole household. A good steward, a good manager controlled everything about their household, from the foods to the product to the children to other employees they had, pretty much like it was with Joseph as an example, that Potiphar said he didn't even know what he had other than food that was on the table. Or as Eliezer with Abraham in Genesis 24, he had everything related that needed Abraham had. This guy operated it, controlled it. He didn't own it because Abraham owned it. Potiphar owned it. And in a bigger scale, what God is saying is, listen, I own everything because I created it, but I'm making you stewards, not just now the mysteries of God, of God's word and his truth, that you now, and not just talking to Paul and not just talking to pastors, but to the church, listen, you are stewards of my word to give to other people. And so if you can understand that, the simple definition of that, that he says, this is what I'm expecting of you as stewards. Verse 2, moreover, it's required in stewards, personal managers, that you be found faithful, not clever, not popular, not brilliant, not creative. All of those might be helpful. But I'm asking you that you would be faithful, trustworthy. I can count on you. And Paul's saying, through the Holy Spirit, that's what I'm asking of you to be. You be faithful. And so as Paul is explaining this as a good steward, he knew that this was what anybody could be. How old or young or smart or not so smart, it doesn't really matter. You can still be faithful. In my conversations over the years with business people, literally around the world, I've had the opportunity to meet numbers of them. I ask them, tell me what the hardest quality to find in a worker is. And you know what they always tell me inevitably? This one. Someone that's faithful, someone I can count on, someone that's dependable. It's nice if they can have more skill or more experience, but the fact is he just wants to be faithful. And so Paul's saying all this in light of knowing for us, you know what he's asking of us? Be faithful. And as we head into a new year, my simple application is understanding that you be faithful what God is wanting for you, because you are representing him. His household, you are faithful.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.